So what's going on tomorrow? We got a holiday, right? Anybody remember what it is? Memorial Day. I want to talk about some things we ought to remember as born-again believers. And Luke chapter 22 today, and we'll begin in verse number 1. Let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you and thank you again for Jesus Christ, for the blood shed on Calvary, for the death, burial, and resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, help us to fall in love with it like never before and have a desire more than our necessary food to read this book and to study this book, to meditate on your word, and to listen and respond to your word and your spirit. We know your book says it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. Help us to understand that this book is spirit and it will help us to be more like you and help us to glorify you. We have no hope without it. And Lord, I ask for your blessing on the message today, the folks that couldn't be here, the folks that are traveling back in the next few days. And Lord, give folks safe travel home today. Come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, bless your word. Breathe on the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 22, beginning in verse number 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall shew you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I want to look at about 7 things today to remember. And the first thing I want to talk about, in verse number 1, the Word of God says, Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. The first thing I want to talk about, born-again believers should remember, is the Passover. In Exodus, the lamb had to be slain, the blood struck on the doorposts, so death would pass over that house, judgment would pass that house. And we understand that's a type and that's a picture, a foreshadowing, if you will, of the precious Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. remember the Passover. I get excited this time of the year because I keep thinking the Lord's going to call us out of here at the Passover. I mean, we're under the blood. He left those under the blood the first time. He's taking those under the blood the second. I'm looking forward to getting out of here. I keep thinking every Passover. And then I change my theology when Passover's gone to Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of the Trumpets. I mean, we're just ready to go, amen. But remember the Passover. God made a way. Judgment was coming, but God made a way. He made a way for people to not have to suffer the judgment, to not have to suffer death. And if you're here today, you're going to have one thing or the other. You're going to have eternal life or eternal death, eternal damnation. And if you're going to have eternal life, it's because of the Passover. What an amazing book we can see in Exodus, and we can look in Luke 22, and we can see those things reflecting forward and backward to the blood that had to be shed. And that blood that had to be shed was the precious blood of the Lamb that had to be shed so the judgment would not fall on those people. And here is the whole world is... A lot of the world is looking at a coming judgment, this apocalyptic view. Today or tomorrow, it could be the end. I mean, we're seeing you hear all the time wars, rumors of wars, and we're seeing the end, and everything's going to, they think Hollywood, like Armageddon, this thing's just going to explode today, and it's going to all be over with. And then you have another crowd that thinks they're going to be so pleasing to God somehow that they're going to bring in some kingdom. And there's a kingdom coming, by the way. Kingdom of the Antichrist, right after we leave this place. And that kingdom will be taken away by King Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But remember the Passover. We remember the folks that have lost their lives, that have gone on before us, the folks that have sacrificed in the military. And boy, I'll tell you what, thank God for the men and women that were willing to lay down their life so you and I could live in a free nation. I know this place is not perfect. I know this place is a mess. And I know I'm not trusting King Donald. I'm trusting King Jesus. I understand all that. But I'm telling you, we still live and have lived in the greatest nation that ever existed on the face of this earth outside of Israel when they were in perfect will of God for short periods of time in the Old Testament. We live in a great nation. God has blessed this place beyond measure. But the greatest sacrifice ever made, I was talking to a guy at, guess what, Golden Corral. It's either Golden Corral or Walmart, right? That might explain some things. But I was talking to a guy, he was wearing a black man that was wearing a U.S. Marine Corps veteran's hat. Thanked him for his service. I really appreciate you. Our church has prayed for you all, and for all the folks in the military, our first responders. We've prayed for folks. We used to pray regularly for the first responders. We probably need to get back into that, amen, because the world's getting crazier and crazier. Those folks need prayer. We all do. I said that. Appreciate your sacrifice. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Let me rephrase that. Even if they didn't go overseas and fight in a battle, they signed on the line to do that, and their families sacrificed years for them to do exactly what Uncle Sam told them to do, be where he told them to be, and act the way one of them, they took control. They owned them. They signed a piece of paper giving them ownership for a certain amount of time. You know, you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life in the blood of Jesus Christ, and He has ownership for eternity. Amen? The greatest sacrifice was not made in Vietnam. Praise the Lord. Thank God for those people who are willing to go. The greatest sacrifice was not made in Korea or World War I or World War II or the Civil War. The greatest sacrifice was made on Calvary and in Exodus when God's talking about striking those doorposts with the blood of the Lamb. He's pointing toward Jesus Christ. Now, I understand He's pointing toward Jesus Christ, but He's pointing toward it for Israel. You know, Israel's going to remember that when Jesus Christ comes back. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember the Old Testament they were confused about. And I believe that God's going to use the New Testament as a mirror, shining light on the Old Testament. And they're going to wake up one day and they're going to see the book of James, the book of Hebrews, the book of Matthew. And they're going to look back and they're going to see Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 9 and 6 and Exodus chapter 12 and on down the line. They're going to see those books. They're going to see the ministry of Elijah and the ministry of Moses and God's people wandering in the wilderness and the feet being fed at the brook Cherith, all those things in a new light like they've never seen it before. Like I've said before, you and I can look at Israel and say, how can they not see what we see? But we're reading the New Testament. God has given us not a spot, not just a flashlight, but a flood lamp of truth, shining back. And we can go back and it shines forward. But Israel doesn't see what you and I see, because they rejected the light God had given them in the Old Testament. We are blessed to be in the United States of America. We are blessed to have a King James Bible we can open and read. And yet oftentimes we don't read it. Amen. We are blessed to be able to go up to people, strangers, and hand them a piece of paper that's got the word, that has the Word of God on it, and says, this, you can make a decision whether heaven or hell will be your future. This piece of paper has the Word of God on it. We are blessed to be able to do that without the fear of having our hand chopped off or our head chopped off or being in prison. And I know they're Baptist, Bible-believing Baptists running around thinking, you know, they're building a bunker and they're storing their food and they're waiting for the day and they're going to go hide with their Cheerios and quit handing out tracts one day because they're afraid of the Antichrist, but we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here before all that stuff comes through. It might get quite a bit worse before the Lord comes. Who knows? It could get quite a bit worse in the next week. It could be worse by the time the church service is over. We don't know what's going on. But I do know this. We can look back and remember the Passover. No matter how bad things get here, we're saved. You're saved or you're saved. Praise the Lord. And looking back at that Passover, talking about religious folks, and looking at verse number 2, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him. But they feared the people. We see the Passover. Remember the Passover. Remember the priests. I'm not talking about spiritual priesthood. I'm talking about the priests. I'm talking about the religious leader. What the religious leaders were doing then and what the religious leaders are doing now, whether it's openly or subtly, is they're attacking Jesus Christ. They're attacking Jesus Christ. You know what the priests want to do? They want to kill the truth so they can keep the power. It bothers me in my soul that I know born-again believers that are thrilled about a new pope. It bothers me. Now, I'm thrilled because I think we're getting out of here. But it bothers me in the depths of my soul to hear somebody claim the name of Jesus Christ, claim to be a blood-bought, born-again believer, and then say, well, I hope this pope's a good pope and he can straighten some things out. It's better to trust the Lord to put confidence in man, especially that man, in that office, with those claims they make. But it's not just him. It's leaders of religious sects all over the world that are trying to get rid of Jesus Christ, get rid of the truth, abolish the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there are folks out there that say, well, he's a way. They're attacking Jesus Christ. He's one way. You've witnessed to the Hindus, they'll tell you that. He's one way. We've got 1,000,005 gods, and Jesus is one of them. Well, Jesus takes offense to that. Amen, amen, and amen. But he's not a way, he's the way. And then have you ever told somebody, well, that's good for you, that works for you, that's your truth, but our truth is something different. No, Jesus Christ is not a truth, he's the truth. Well, if that's what you want, you know, we're all going the same place, we're just taking different routes to get there. Well, if everybody's going to hell, that's true. But if you're going to heaven, you're going through Jesus Christ. So, well, you know, that's you, and we're gonna seek, 72 Virginians up in heaven or whatever, and Allah and all this stuff, and they talk about all these things, and, you know, in our life, and our eternal life, and Jesus Christ didn't say, I'm a life, he said, I'm the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Oh, we're all going to get to the Father, we're just going different directions. No, that's not what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man. Listen, no man comes to the Father except through... Nobody gets to the Father except through the Son. No man. I don't care how much white and gold he's wearing. I don't care what kind of a fish hat he's got on or what kind of a religion he's claiming to have. I'm telling you that if he doesn't go through the blood of Jesus Christ, repenting and calling on Christ, trusting him as Lord and Savior, he's hell bound. No man. Jesus Christ is being attacked continually in church after church after church. Because, and that verse where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, aggravates people to no end, because if that's good for you, that's good for you, but that's not good for us, and we're going a different way. You are going a different way. If you're not going through the way, the truth, and the life, you're going down. Amen, amen, and amen. Remember the Passover. Remember the priests, what they did in the Old Testament, what Israel's leaders did, their spiritual leaders, their religious leaders, their Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those folks, what they did is still happening today. It's happening all around the world, and it's happening in Methodist churches, it's happening in Presbyterian churches, it's happening in Lutheran churches, it's happening in Baptist churches. They're headed back to Rome. Even the people that didn't come from there are going to Rome. So what am I saying? Don't forget the priests in the Old Testament. What they want to do? They wanted to kill Jesus Christ. You know what I believe? I believe if half the people in the world could crucify him again, they'd do it, knowing what the Bible says about him. Amen. I believe they would. So when you're looking around wondering why things are going haywire and how you could talk to people that you know have been claiming to be saved for years and years and years, and they talk all this craziness, it's because the priests, the religious leaders, are leading people astray, and people are not studying the Bible and having a personal walk with Jesus Christ and figuring out what God wants from them. They're taking man's opinion, and the devil has done a tremendous job on getting people just to go with the flow. I mean, if you look how he's ramped it up, what's he do? In the modern day, how does he do? He starts with a radio, so you can slowly tell people how to think and what to think. And then he puts a picture with it, a television, so you can slowly tell people what to think and how to think. And then some people are like, hey, I'm not watching that garbage anymore. Some because they don't want to pay $100 a month, and some because it's all filth. 90% of it's filth, and they don't want it in their house. Then he gives you a TV you can put in your pocket, so he can tell you what to think and how to think. And it looks like when to think sometimes. But I don't think people even think anymore. It's a lot of regurgitation, because it's not just in the church house, it's everywhere. The devil, the little g god of this world, has everything geared up to mess with the heart of man. You say, well, you know, we've moved into a new age preacher and all this anti-television preaching and all this stuff, and you know what? Right's still right and wrong's still wrong. If you must have a TV set, be very careful with it. Amen. When I go, my flesh is not important to me, to my soul. My soul's taken care of, praise the Lord. But if I go to a restaurant, I tell them what I want to eat. That's why I'm there. I don't go in and sit down and say, make me what you want me to eat. That sounds silly, doesn't it? We'll go to the Golden Corral Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and we'll go in and they'll say, well, can we help you? You want the buffet? No, make me eat what you want me to eat. I'm just going to sit here and open my mouth. You just shove food in it. Doesn't that seem silly? But to open your eyes and your ears and just let the devil shove food in it? And you wonder why we have a bunch of anemic Christians running around here? Their diet's garbage. It's going in their ears, going in their eyes. You wonder why the world's so messed up. You wonder why you talk to a lot of these younger folks, and praise the Lord, there's still some good, solid young folks out there, but you talk to a lot of these younger folks, and they're like, well, you know, I was in school, they told me this, and now that's good for you, and that's your truth, and this is my truth, and there's no absolute anything. And I like what Ken Hovind used to ask them, are you absolutely sure? There are no absolutes. The devil has preachers everywhere. They're preaching in pulpits. They're preaching in synagogues. They're preaching in mosques. They're preaching on your iPhone. They're preaching through your TV. They're preaching on the radio. They're preaching at Walmart in the speaker system. We are on the ropes if we don't read this book and get serious about Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, my mind, all I can do is read this Bible and God show me how goofed up I am sometimes. I can't know like God knows. I've never been perfect. But He is. And you're going to be judged by somebody that's never sinned. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Your works will be judged by somebody. You're going to stand before somebody. You're going to hit your face before somebody that has never had 1 ounce of guile slip through his lips. That has never had a filthy heart or a corrupt mind. That has never had a thought that wasn't right. So what are you saying? I'm saying we have fallen so far away from where we should be as churches. Everything's a game. You know, I can't remember who was it years and years and years ago. The whole world's a stage. And, you know, the more we've seen over the last several years, the more we believe it's probably true. The whole world is a stage. I don't know what you can believe anymore. I know you believe this. So you just make too big a deal out of that, yeah? Well, you think so now, maybe, but you won't when you're standing before the Lord. I don't make a big enough deal out of this. If I did, I'd read it 12 hours a day. Or I'd read it when I could. Anybody just read it when they should? Because you put a schedule down? Well, I should read. I'm not against it. Praise the Lord. Until the Lord calls me out of this dumpster, I'm going to read this book every morning as long as He allows me to do it before I do anything else. I'm not feeding this fat man before I feed my soul something. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be out of the race. I want to be out of here. Come Lord Jesus. I don't want to be out of the race. I don't want you to be out of the race. What am I saying? Remember the priests. It's not just the people with the collars on backwards. It's not just the people that are waving Bibles around. It's not just them. The devil has set up a world full of people to preach you full of corruption and sorrow. If you listen to any news program a couple hours a day, I guarantee you'd be suicidal in 3 days. I'll take a couple hours a day. They will take all of your hope and replace it with fear and confusion. You know what? God is not the author of confusion. He wants you to be clear about some things. And He wants you to be clear about your salvation. He wants you to be clear about your sin, how to get right with God, how to walk with Him, and how to end right. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It doesn't matter where you started, it's where you end. It doesn't matter how you started. It doesn't even matter. I mean, it does matter. I hope there's very few hiccups during the middle, but get it under the blood and end well. Praise the Lord. The Passover, the priest, 3 through 6. Let's look at verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. There's the perpetrator. You know what he's doing? He's selling Jesus out. So I'd never do that. You know how many Baptists do that every week? Every week? I understand there's some folks that have jobs that they can't control their schedule. I mean, honestly, I think that'll get another job and be a church. That's what I think. But I don't want to beat people to death over that. If they're in when they can be, that's between them and the Lord. I'm not your Pope. But people sell Jesus out for money all the time. All the time. Well, I'd like to give the Lord some time, but Sunday's my day. You ever heard that? I guarantee you the preacher has. Sunday's my day. I'd come visit you, but Sunday's my day. I work hard all week. And I believe what you're saying, preacher, but Sunday's my day. I just got to have a day. You know what the problem is? You're going to run out of your days. And you're going to stand before the Lord one day. But the perpetrator here was Judas. He said, what could you give me to sell out Jesus? You ever ask somebody to buy something? Yeah, I'd like to buy that. You want to sell that? Oh, it's not for sale. Everything's for sale. You know what the devil says? Everybody's for sale. And he'll try to find a way to get you to sell out Jesus. the perpetrator, oh, Judas, what a terrible person. And yet, the Lord looks at us from time to time and says, they made a decision over me, for money over me, for power over me, for them time over me. And look, I understand, I'm a human being. I get up some Sunday mornings and I look at the clock and I look at my phone and I'm like, sure it's not Saturday, Lord? You expect me to go feed the people and I feel like crawling under a rock. I mean, I hung out with me last week, amen. I understand that. But you know, some of the best times I've ever had in church have been the times where I thought I'd just rather stay home. And sometimes one thing you need more than anything is to be in church around other people that love the Lord. I mean, more than anything. I don't care if it's 10 people or 110 people. You just need about be around somebody that loves Jesus Christ. I'm not saying my wife doesn't. I mean, I terrorized her for 7 days. Now I'm going to church to try to get right. Amen? I'm saying that we need to support each other's efforts in unity to glorify God. Sunday's my day. And then there's the other side of that. Well, the Lord's day. Hey, He shed His blood on Calvary. Every single day I have is His. It's a matter of what I do with it. Am I giving it to Him or am I giving it to me? Amen. It's easy to look at Judas. It's easy to look at other people and say, look what they've done. Look how they treated the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really hard to open God's mirror and look at yourself and say, I need to change. Amen. I need to change. You know what the pastor is supposed to be? An example to the flock. You know what that means? You don't need to know all my business. The Lord already knows, and that's embarrassing enough. But I'm here to tell you that we're all human, and we all struggle, and we all need Jesus Christ, and we all need to read our Bible. We all need to follow the Spirit. We all need to be listening to that still small voice. We all need to be thinking in the back of our mind, is this going to be good or bad for me spiritually? We all need to put right up in the forefront when we make decisions that are big decisions, especially. Is this going to be glorifying to Jesus Christ? Is this going to be moving closer to Christ or further away from Christ? We need to put some thought into some things and some prayer into some things, because I'm just like you. I can mess up faster than you can imagine. You can too. But it's easy to look at Judas, and it's easy to look at other people and say, look at them. And that's just a smoke and mirrors tactic the devil uses on you to get you to quit looking at you. Amen. The perpetrator. Look at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. The preparation. You know where the preparation was made for your eternal life? On Mount Moriah. I know Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. I understand that. But Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. Before you and I were ever thought of, humanly speaking, God provided Himself a lamb. That preparation. Sometimes my wife will ask me, you ready for Sunday? And I'm like, I'm making final preparations to be prepared. Or sometimes all week long I'll think I've got a message, and then Saturday night the Lord's like, nah, throw that one in the trash. I got one for you. I'm like, that makes it get kind of rough getting up the next morning sometimes. Because I already thought we had it. Me and the Lord have been working it out. And He's like, no, you were working it out. I got one for you. I don't know. I think some of y'all are doing honorary stuff during the week, and that's why God's changing the message. But He always knows what's right. The preparation. The preparation was made. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we understand that Abraham and Isaac said, God will prepare Himself a lamb. Look at 19. Way down to 19. Some things we should remember. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." No New Testament, that's death tested, right? "Which is shed for you." Remember the Passover, remember the priests, remember the perpetrator, remember the preparation, remember the payment. Excuse me, that wafer and that juice is not something that I'm going to magically turn into Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, his body and his blood were sitting there handing it to him. He didn't hand him a literal body and a literal blood. He handed him down a tradition of doing something in remembrance of him. I believe that the Lord tells the preacher when you have the Lord's Supper. I believe that. I don't believe you ought to have it the third Sunday of every year, or, you know, mark it down the calendar 2 weeks, 2 years in advance. I don't believe that. But I believe we need to remember some things. We'll remember all kinds of stuff. Remember where to put your car keys sometimes, amen. Remember you got to go to Walmart to get some chicken. You remember you got to go to Kroger's to get some cheese that's on sale. You're going to save a quarter. You remember all kinds of stuff. But if we're not careful, we forget the Passover. We forget the priest. We forget the perpetrator. We forget the preparation. And most importantly, we forget the payment that was made on Calvary so you and I could have eternal life. I sometimes, the devil kicks me in the teeth and he says, "Don't name Joel Osteen's name," or something like that. But I'm calling him out because it aggravates me what my Lord and Savior did for me and how they use that to make merchandise of people and steal money from the widows. And if that's what it takes to have a big church, I would nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. I'd rather have 20 people that love the Lord, that appreciated the blood that was shed on Calvary, than 1,000 people putting money in a plate so I could drive a Bentley. I don't want a Bentley anyway. I couldn't even work on it. Amen. I'd rather have people praying for 30 missionaries. Now, $30,000 pair of shoes. Amen. Remember the payment. Jesus Christ's body was broken. His blood was shed. He stepped down out of glory to be ridiculed by his creation, to be mocked by his brethren in the flesh, to be rejected, spat upon, have his beard plucked out, whipped, crucified, die the most agonizing death you could think of, and he gave his life. They didn't take it. He laid it down, and he took it up again. Remember the Passover. Remember the priest. Remember the perpetrator. Don't be the perpetrator. Remember the preparation. Remember the payment. Remember the pain. I think the devil has done such a crazy job, a convoluted job on people that we don't remember a gift cost somebody something. And I think it's a shame for people to let their kids believe in Santa Claus. I really do. I think it's wicked. To think some fat guy is coming down your chimney and giving them gifts. You know what we always told our kids? The Lord allowed us to get that for you. Thank God for it. What am I saying? I'm saying that we don't appreciate gifts because they don't really realize where they come from. When you have to spend your own money to get something, things are a little more valuable. God shed His own blood to buy you. Remember the pain. You say, well, I remember, I've read about the cross. Remember the garden? Remember the pain leading up to the cross? Remember what He's done for you? That Passover in Exodus was pointing to the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. The pain that He would go through so you and I could have eternal life. I want to end with this. He's coming back. He's calling us out of here. I want you to remember the promises. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, or entered into the heart of man. You know what He promised you? He'll never leave you or forsake you. You know what He promised you? Eternal life. You know what He promised you? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Remember the promises. Amen. See, woo, we're living in a free country because of the sacrifice that others made. Hey, I'm living eternally because of the sacrifice Jesus Christ made. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. You know what some of the three easiest words that ought to flow out of your mouth should be? Praise the Lord. If you're saved, isn't that something though? Sometimes it's really difficult because we're fighting this flesh. My wife's good at it. She's practiced a lot more. I mean, if we get a parking spot within 100 yards of Walmart, she's praising the Lord for it. And we leave Walmart, I'm praising the Lord. Lord, amen. But I mean, she's good at it. Praise the Lord. I mean, I think aliens could come and just rip me in pieces and she'd praise the Lord. I know He's saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. But I mean, a lot of the opposition that we have is not from out here. It's from in here. I mean, if you're walking with the Lord and reading His Word and praising God, you know what happens? It gets easier. And easier and easier because you realize the pain, the payment, and you're looking forward to some promises. I'm glad we have a Bible. I'm so thankful we have a Bible. I'd be burning in hell right now if I didn't have a Bible. I'd have never made it this far. But I'm saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ because of His Word. So, well, that sounds drastic. I believe it. I believe that I never got saved without His Word. Amen. I believe it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He told Timothy to search the Scriptures. They're able to make you wise into salvation. People say, that Bible stuff, you just put too much on that Bible. Thank God for our Bibles and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Memorial Day coming up. Boy, I'll tell you what. Remember the Passover. Remember the priest. Remember the perpetrator. Remember the preparation. The payment that was made. The pain that was gone through. And the promises we have because of Jesus Christ. This place just gets crazier by the second. But we're 1 second closer to getting out of here every second. Amen. You realize, think about this. You are closer to leaving than you were when you got here. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about leaving this place. Where He's given us some eternal promises. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the sacrifices willing to be made by men and women around the world for different things, for good causes. But when you get around people tomorrow and they start talking about remembering this and remember that and flowers on grave sites and all that, remind them of Jesus Christ. Amen? The greatest sacrifice that was ever made was when God gave His only begotten Son so you and I could have everlasting life. That's the sacrifice. That's the sacrifice. And He's coming back. He's coming back. Are you ready? Father, we sure love You and thank You for the sacrifice made. You were willing to shed the blood, that precious blood, that body to be broken, to suffer the humiliation and agony and pain for us. God committed His love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You, Lord. Help us to remember. Come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.